What's going on, grandkids? This is a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, and this time I'm not lying. Most of the times when I say that I am lying, this time I'm not, because goddammit, the Wonder Twins are back together. Who's with me? Dusty. Dusty, what's going on, man?
I've been replaced by Senator Kennedy. I just had a seizure.
Get that steel drum band out of my office.
Anyway.
Say chowda. Yes.
Say
we are
chowda.
Here. Never. We decided that because this is WrestleMania week, this is the road to WrestleMania, that we wanted to talk about things that didn't involve current professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And Dusty actually threw me a curveball a little bit ago, and I said, do we want to talk about anything current? And his response was, let's talk about healthcare.
Yeah. I could give a fuck duck about current wrestling. But
you care about healthcare, and I'd like to know why, because I'm being a really bad American, and I'm just, like, not paying the least bit of attention to any of this debate. I know it's been going on for months, but I don't know what's going on.
It's been going on since, like, pre-election, so it's been going on for years, really.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Now, JDW had a great post about this, actually. What just passed is pretty close to Romney's bill that he proposed in opposition to Clinton.
Okay.
In the 90s.
Cool.
So what we're getting is basically Romney care, which is great, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Romney is about my favorite as far as Republicans go.
Sure.
And it shows how centrist the bill really is, you know?
So then why fight it?
Done.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good. And it's good to compromise. And it's good to meet in the middle, because our country, no matter what you'd like to think, unless you're just a fucking wackadoo, you know, you stand a chance of landing in the middle somewhere. So why all the argument? Why all the argument in the Senate and in Congress in general over this health care bill when it is so centrist?
You know, it really baffles me. Like, the Republicans seem to have no plan whatsoever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around, like, what's... See, if we had an actual debate, it would be easier to pick a side.
Yes.
But it's basically, with the Republicans' do-nothing plan, it's basically people get healthy or else they die, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, don't get sick, die quickly.
That's right. Don't get sick and die quickly. I love that.
What was his name? Alan Grayson?
Grayson from Florida. Yep.
Okay. Nice. Well done, Rob Riggle of the Senate.
That's kind of corny, and really there's no place for that on the Senate floor, but it takes some balls, man. It really does.
It does. Well, I always said that one thing that I appreciated about Jim Nussel when he was a representative for Iowa was he was so embarrassed over, and he was like the chair of the Finance Committee, he was so embarrassed over what was happening with finances in the House that he showed up on the House floor one day with a paper bag over his head.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There are times and places to state your opinions in extreme fashions, but...
Sure.
It's like when you got a guy from Florida playing win, lose, or draw on the floor with his easel and his Dimitri Martin style, you know, huge flashcards.
That's right. Little drawings and stuff.
He should have had a stick figure with, like, X's for eyes.
Like clutching his chest, and then the next one he's like keeled over. That would be awesome.
I don't know. First of all, because you mentioned Mitt Romney, I thought it was funny and interesting. And the photo has been making its rounds in the news organizations today. President Obama was in Iowa City today.
Yes.
And one of my old roommate Megan, who had a few cameos on the podcast back in the day, actually. She won one of the lotteries and got tickets to the event. I haven't talked to her about it yet, but a couple other people I know went. But Obama, before or after, I'm not sure, his big speech this afternoon, went to Prairie Lights Bookstore and actually bought Mitt Romney's book. And he bought Karl Rove's book too. I'm pretty sure he bought them both. Actually, if he didn't buy them, but he was shown in a picture holding Mitt Romney's book. Actually, I think the books he bought were, he bought two children's books for his daughters. But yeah, it was funny just to see him hauling around a book.
Oh yeah, for his daughter, right?
Right, yeah.
That's
the
like
voyage
on the
Stern
show when Baba Booey was talking about, well, we bought chicken nuggets for the kids, and then we find out that he actually eats the chicken nuggets, you know?
Yeah.
Give me a break here.
Yeah. But the other thought is, maybe there's just bickering because politicians are assholes. They're just trying to play their little...
There's a stronger chance than maybe on that one.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right. They're just trying to play their little party games, and I don't mean pin the tail on the donkey. I mean, like, political party games.
No, they're fucking little games that they play, because all they really care about is getting reelected.
Yes.
So they can spend another term doing absolutely nothing until it comes time to get reelected again.
Yes. And what do? It's like, it's seriously like elementary school, where they just put each other down to make themselves look better.
Yes.
Barack Obama's health care plan is horrible. It's terrible. It's ridiculous. We're all going to die. Your grandmas are going to die. It was Mitt Romney's plan to begin with. Get that steel trumpet player out of my office.
Well, I never supported it.
That's right.
So your name is on the bill.
You flying sack of shit.
I bring that up because your state has been pissing me off lately. Senator Chuck Grassley, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yes. He's claiming he co-authored parts of the health care bill that he spoke out against.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck, I think it is old age. I think he's just getting a little punchy.
Do you remember when you co-authored? Do you remember that?
Well, I have a vague recollection of not doing the thing that you just suggested I did not do.
Fucking
research. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I have the feeling Chuck Grassley's seen the end of his Senate run.
Yeah.
Which
and
really
hopefully
is...
Steve King, too.
Fucking fuck Steve King. Fuck that retard.
Yeah.
That guy, from day one, has just been the biggest jackass. Biggest
really?
Fucking loser.
Okay.
Just like, I don't know. He's rubbed me the wrong way from day one.
He killed Lennon.
That's right.
Oh, is that a different Stephen King? Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
He wrote a couple of books. He wrote a couple of horror books. That was a different Stephen King.
Yeah, it's a... Trying to finish the books is a horror.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is so bad!
Let's just make him into movies so I can push stop after a while.
Yeah.
Or hope
that what,
Jack Nicholson helps.
One of my favorite movies.
Okay. Well, I like pretty much anything Jack Nicholson is in, so.
Yeah.
I'll stomach a Stephen King movie if Jack Nicholson's in it.
Alright, right on. Steve King here, representative from Iowa.
Yeah.
You floated around the possible idea of succession.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Right.
And this dipshit...
I bet you're not going to forget the ones who died. They gave that right to you.
They gave that right to Lee Greenwood, that is. actually, it's funny that you brought this up, and I think I may have said this on an audio before, and if I didn't say it on audio, I may have just said it to you or one of the guys.
Well, it's worth repeating if you did say it.
I think so. My senior year of high school, I was voted most likely to become a professional wrestler.
Me too.
No, hell yeah. My friend Aaron Rowell, who got decent grades but never, ever, ever applied himself in class.
Sure.
And who frequently in our chemistry lab would just go over to where the radiator was and lay down and fall asleep.
Nice.
Because he didn't care, and neither did the teacher. He was somehow voted most likely to succeed.
Wow.
But the best part is the crack yearbook staff that year couldn't spell shit. And they actually wrote that he was voted most likely to secede.
I reckon that nobody on the yearbook staff has succeeded.
No, absolutely none of them. Jesus.
I'm glad they didn't put one of their own on there, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Steve King, though, like, I don't even remember when he first ran for representative. I think it was when I was in college in Storm Lake, because I remember him putting up an office there. And he just said some outlandish things, and, like, he was anti, you know, he's so not liberal. He's obviously a Republican. Well, obviously, sorry, so that's not the word I was looking for. He is a Republican, so he was very obviously
right.
Not liberal is what I meant. But, I mean,
okay.
Some of his approach is just ridiculous. And now the fact that he wants to secede from the union.
See, this is what I have a hard time wrapping my head around, why this is so bad, you know?
Yeah.
I can make an argument that it is bad, like on the spending level, maybe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's actually, like, that's how the Republicans should have approached this. Like, hey, he's going to spend us to death. Here's a cheaper plan, you know?
Sure. And what does this plan cost?
No, we don't like this.
Or, yeah, we're,
no.
that's the best thing to do. We don't like it. How much is this plan costing us? Is it $900 billion or is it $9 trillion? That sounds like a hell of a lot of money.
I think it's in the billions.
I want to say it's $900 billion.
That sounds right. Yeah, I mean, you know, the argument should be like, can we really afford this?
Right.
We're hemorrhaging money in the first place, you know?
Right, yep. Well, one thing that has me concerned, I don't know how other states look right now, and if anybody's listening that doesn't live in the state of Iowa, by all means, and if you're a tax-paying citizen, get a hold of me somehow. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this right now probably has me on Instant Messenger or has my email address.
Yeah.
I'm curious. My taxes, I did my taxes, and until my tax lady did some of my band write-offs, I actually owed altogether $500 because of my state.
Sure.
And then thankfully my lady wrote a whole bunch of shit off and now I'm getting a bunch of money back. But
nice.
The money I'm getting back, like, I think I'm getting $1,500 back and $150 of it is from the state. That's a 90-10 ratio, or a 9-1 whatever ratio.
Yeah.
That seems ridiculous to me. Like, in years past, my state has made up about 20-25% of my return.
Mm-hmm.
My coworker Derek, his is like $250 versus $2,500 for federal. My dad owes for the state. I think my girlfriend, oh my God, newsflash, I have one of those. sorry, no one's probably really heard about it. Well, I lie. Everyone who's listening to this also has me on Facebook.
Yeah.
I think she owes for the state. I think her dad owes for the state, and I'm wondering where the hell is all this state money going, and so I was just kind of curious.
Don't put under relationship status. Don't put it's complicated. That gets
you
into a lot of problems.
Okay, I'll remember that.
I've heard anyway. Yeah, okay. All right, go ahead.
She's like, what are you talking about? Remember when we couldn't decide where to eat the other day? I thought that was complicated. We couldn't figure out which side of the bed to sleep on. That was kind of complicated, right?
Mm.
Remember when I was checking out that 17-year-old girl on Facebook? That was kind of complicated.
Very, very complicated.
But anyway, yeah, so money. That's, you know, everything either boils down to money and how it's being spent or I don't like this. And I was actually going earlier for a kind of a natural segue when I said it's like being in elementary school and everyone just makes fun of each other.
Right.
Here's my natural segue. So now we can start talking about professional wrestling. This week we're not going to talk. We're not going to talk about what's that.
If I have to, I'll talk about it, that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to segue into it. We're going to talk about not professional wrestling from the past week because it really wasn't all that newsworthy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's WrestleMania week, we're going to talk about our favorite memories from WrestleMania's past.
Yes.
And Dusty and I went through our hazy recollections of childhood WrestleManias, and honestly, we probably have some of the most vivid memories, so I don't know why I said that. All the way up into basically the current day, where amazing things happen at a time when nothing amazing whatsoever was happening in pro wrestling.
That's right.
And we each came up with five things that we really, really enjoyed about WrestleMania's past, our favorite memories of WrestleMania's past. And we can do this in chronological order. Speaking of elementary school, I assume that's what grade level you were in when your first fond memory of WrestleMania happened at WrestleMania 6.
WrestleMania 6, I was in fifth grade. So definitely elementary school, and I was big on Motley Crue and Van Halen, and I was also big on The Ultimate Warrior.
Ah, yes.
And I really think that WrestleMania really defines my childhood. The whole WrestleMania.
Okay.
It's full of the biggest stars from the 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, WWE had quite a collection of talent.
That's what we'll always look back on fondly.
Yes. Yeah, if you look at that card, I mean, it's kind of like looking at the Royal Rumble seems to always be the easiest snapshot of who was on
sure.
a roster and when. But it also helps that this WrestleMania had 14 matches on the card.
Right.
And you look up and down that card, and I mean, talk about star-studded. You know, WWE tries to throw that word around nowadays with the Royal Rumble. I'm sorry. Kofi Kingston is no fucking big boss man. Don't give me that star-studded bullshit today. You know, the card back then had your Ted DiBiase's, your Jake the Snakes, your Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah, think about it. One of the throwaway matches had Rick Rude against Jimmy Snuka.
Right, two of the biggest stars of the 80s.
Yeah.
Hell, the Tag Team Championship match, which was important at the time, and Demolition was huge at the time, featured Andre the Giant.
Yep.
You know, that's gargantuan, literally and figuratively.
The second biggest star in all of the 80s.
Yep.
After Hogan.
Yep, definitely.
So.
And of course, the two men who headlined the card were Hulk Hogan and your man, the Ultimate Warrior. And so this
right.
is your fond memory of WrestleMania 6, this match, which was much better
yeah,
than it had any right to be.
Really set the standard for, you know, great memories in my childhood. That is, I think, one of the greatest matches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, people online get caught up in work rate too much.
Yes.
Because work rate-wise, it's nothing spectacular whatsoever.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, what they're offering, in terms of how they're executing it, it's perfect. It really is.
It was. Storytelling-wise, I mean, not to get,
yeah.
you know, not to get caught up in terminology, but really, the story that was being told was, these two men are equal. They are at the tops of their games,
yeah.
they've made it all the way to the main event, but you also got that sense of 6 year veterans, you know, what a 6 year WWF veteran, guy who's been the champion and been on top this whole time, and the young lion, kind of wild and crazy, new look to him, going, you know, up against the standard bearer, and this is what we get, 20 minutes of, you know, back and forth, this test of strength. This guy hits his finisher, that guy hits his finisher. You know, a great story was told.
Ultimate Warrior is very much what everyone thought the 90s was going to be.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The big muscles, the face paint, the rock music. you know?
Yep.
That was, you know, totally a 90s thing against Hogan, who defined the 80s. That was just, you know, just the ultimate juxtaposition, I guess.
Yeah, it's like what Hogan brought to the table in 84, coming to WWF and becoming the world champion, was just different enough from what had been presented for the last 10, 20 years.
Right.
And same with Warrior.
Yeah,
you know,
what had been presented for the last 10 years was Bob Stinky Backlund.
Yeah, bland Bob Backlund.
Right.
Literally crying on television, you know, how often. Doing his Harvard step test.
On television. Woo!
Yeah, exactly.
With
and
excitement, yeah.
Yep. And, you know, your handful of, like, slovenly characters and whatever else you had, just guys who were kind of plain looking. And sure, they could wrestle, but they didn't look like anything special. And now you've got a guy that you can call the Hulk. Well, then what do you do when you've already got a Hulk? You grow his hair out, you paint his face, and you put him on even more steroids, and, you know, he's ripped to shreds.
Yep.
So, and actually, it's funny that that only worked out for a very short amount of time, and then the Ultimate Warrior went and disappeared, because when he came back at one of my first WrestleMania memories. WrestleMania 8.
Nice.
The Hoosier Dome, Indianapolis, classic. Everyone knows that my favorite match is Randy Savage versus Ric Flair from that show.
Great match.
Great match.
Awesome match.
But I have, this is one of my memories. I mean, this sticks out. When I think of WrestleMania 8, the very first thing I think of, sadly, is watching it on Scramble Vision, mind you, on paper, not on pay-per-view because we didn't buy it, but at the end of the Hulk Hogan versus Sid Justice match, that ended in a disqualification. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, I'm 11 years old at this point.
Yeah.
And Papa Shango, of all people, I'm like, you mean this mid-card piece of shit is getting himself involved in this main event match? It, like, it blew my mind.
I liked Papa Shango, and I was still confused.
Yeah, it made no sense. But then the music hit. The Ultimate Warrior's rock and roll music hit. And I freak out, and I saw this blurry vision of some, like, silver and purple and green running down the aisle. I saw a fist pumping, and he started clearing house. And what did I do as his music played in the background the whole time? I ran up and down the length of my living room over and over and over again like a retard.
Yes, because Ultimate Warrior's running and fist pumping caused you to do the same.
It did. It seriously did.
Absolutely.
I ran around my living room like a man. The Ultimate Warrior's music blared over our 13-inch TV set. And yet again, now, of course, like, this is a card. Okay, so we're a couple of years past the cards with, like, 14 matches.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 8 had 8 or 9. I can't remember exactly, but it was definitely a smaller number. It was billed as, you know, Hogan's last match, possibly his retirement match. So for that reason, it was newsworthy. Otherwise, it was a weird WrestleMania in that it was a transition period. You know, Hogan's on his way out. Warrior's not really around. You got the new guy, Flair, with the belt, and then he loses it to Macho Man. But then you've got singles matches like Owen Hart versus Skinner.
Right.
And Tatanka versus Rick Martel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. To me, that WrestleMania 8, for as much as I love the world title match and as fondly as I remember the Ultimate Warrior coming back.
There's a lot of throwaway in that.
Yeah, there really is. So, and of course, there's always Ray Combs doing the guest ring announcing.
Yeah. If he was two-faced, he'd darn sure be wearing the other one right now.
That's right. The Mountie does the work of three men, Larry, Curly, and Moe.
Hey!
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's too bad that Ultimate Warrior, you know, and he didn't pan out for too long after my fond memory of him at WrestleMania 8.
Well, he died again.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Problem.
And then came back a few years later with a different haircut.
Right.
Here's something, though, that panned out for quite a while, actually. Here's a guy that's been in the company now for 16, going on almost 17 years this year of WrestleMania. Another one of my fond memories, WrestleMania 9, a card that is universally panned and universally shit on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why. I don't think it's that bad.
It's outdoors. That's why I don't like it.
Oh, okay. I can see that, actually. Well, it's not. It's outdoors, but WrestleMania 24 was outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 24 also had 75,000 people there. WrestleMania 9 maybe had 7,500 people there.
There might have been 12 people there. We've never gotten a real answer on that one.
That's right. They actually just sold out ringside, and then they took Lex Luger's mirrors and put them up behind those people so it looked like there were more. But no, right off the bat, this is another one of those shows I watched on Scramble Vision. Still didn't have the money to buy pay-per-views yet at the ripe old age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
So it's me and my dad, and my dad made some pan-fried hamburgers, and I think he may have even put some fries in the oven.
Oh, God, he better have.
Yeah, I know. We sat down to a delicious dinner of burgers and fries, mm-hmm. popped on the Scramble Vision version of WrestleMania 9.
Yes.
Gorilla Monsoon introduces the newest member to the WWF broadcast team, Jim Ross.
Yes.
And I swear to God, the piece of burger that was in my mouth fell out onto my plate. I was like, what? Even my dad was like, did I just hear that right? Jim Ross from the WCW? And then he just started, then he started talking in his like high-pitched southern drawl that he had back then.
Right.
And he started saying things like,
destroyed his voice, yeah.
Yeah, before he smoked himself raspy. And then just like, I was baffled hearing Jim Ross, the voice of WCW, saying things like,
isn't that weird?
It is. To hear him say like, the WWF Championship and Hulkamania is going to run wild. I'm like, what?
Right. Yeah, few years prior, he was talking about how much bullshit Hulkamania was.
Yes, exactly what I was going to say. In 1990, he was like, we wrestle.
Yeah. We don't come out with rock stars. We don't pose.
Yep. That's right. And now here he is espousing the beauties of Hulkamania. Yeah, the WWF Championship. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Because, I mean, I don't care how old you are. You know Jim Ross is good. And you know Jim Ross is probably the best.
Right.
And so I thought it was a real coup for them to pick him up.
Oh, definitely. And boy, did they misuse him at first.
Oh, God, yeah.
They had him on, like, the Action Zone or something, you know? He wasn't
right.
even calling, like, the pay-per-views.
Yeah, he did, Yeah, God, I think by the time SummerSlam rolled around, he was already doing radio WWF.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, what was that, four or five months later? That's inexcusable.
It's very strange, you know, you think they would exploit a huge signing like that.
Right, yeah. But it's like, you know, they got him just as kind of a stopgap for the McMahon trial, you know, for at least part of it, while he had to go do some spin at that time. It's like, we need another lead announcer.
That's when they should have brought in Bill Watts.
Yes. Yeah, Jarrett. Yeah, he didn't do too damn much for business. Well, in fact, business tanked with Jerry Jarrett running the show.
Oh, absolutely. Jerry Jarrett's not a booker, really. He's a stopgap guy.
Right. Yep. And I don't know how much of Memphis was him and how much of it was Lawler, but,
yeah.
You know, the proof is in the pudding. Jerry Jarrett does not equal national promotion.
Right.
Like, he can cry the blues all he... Oh, he proved it with TNA. I mean, he can cry the blues all he wants to with that, but shit.
Right.
I mean, even now they're still a joke, but, you know, they were nothing with Jerry Jarrett at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. But, yeah, Jim Ross, you know, oh, my God. I just sat in amazement listening to him. And, of course, Bobby Heenan spends the entire three-hour broadcast making fun of the fact that he's from Oklahoma.
Yep.
Like two bulls running together.
Oklahoma jokes.
Oh, dude, seriously, when he did the two bulls running together, why do you always got to talk about your senior prom? Senior prom? Yeah, you said something about two bulls running together? I know those ladies in Oklahoma. God.
And that was, it is, oh, man, what a missed opportunity. I really wish Bobby Heenan had stayed with the WWE in 93.
Yeah. Yep.
And that it would have been Heenan and Ross.
Oh, my God.
Into
that
the
would
Monday
have been unbelievable.
Night would have been so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Shivani and Bobby Heenan, you know, at least Heenan had someone to make fun of or something to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you don't mind me using that as a segue into my third WrestleMania memory.
Dude, get right on your segue and roll on over to number three.
All right, here we go. We're going to fast forward quite a ways, actually, because there are a whole bunch of stinkers in between 9 and 17, save for, like, 10. WrestleMania 17, of course, everyone, you know, it's the best pay-per-view ever. It's been voted on. It's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Scientists agree. WrestleMania 17 is the best professional wrestling show ever. Thanks in no small part to the gimmick Battle Royal.
Yes.
Because, really, it's what everybody wanted at the time. You know, you got your Rock and Steve Austin. You got your Triple H and Undertaker. You got your Shane versus Vince. Like, let's give everybody a little comic relief and give them the gimmick Battle Royal.
I mean, it really is the Something for Everyone show.
Yes. And actually, this segues into one of yours, too. So I guess we're double-teaming this segue, aren't we?
Yep, we are. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the gimmick Battle Royal, and I mentioned Bobby Heenan doing commentary along with Gene Okerlund.
Oh, yeah.
So there's my Bobby Heenan segue and your gimmick Battle Royal segue.
I love how they were, like, tongue-in-cheek calling it like it's a serious match. It was really hilarious.
Yeah. Gene, and I swear he had, like, a list of cliches in front of him. When he did the, you can cut the tension with a knife. Then he looks around, did I just say that? But as far as the, excuse me while I take a drink of this delicious Vitamin Water Zero. this one's for you.
Oh, how Gorilla acted so disgusted. Oh,
what? Fucking Gorilla. It's really too bad Gorilla had passed away and couldn't. Had he passed away at that point?
I believe so.
Yeah, and he couldn't do the commentary with Bobby Heenan for that gimmick Battle Royal.
That would have been even better, but as it stands, it was still great.
Yeah, it was.
Bobby and Gene are the drinking buddies from way back, you know?
That's right, yeah. They're old AWA drinking buddies.
Yep.
And, of course, Heenan in the classic line, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, and if I didn't, somebody would post about it. When Iron Sheik is coming down to the ring, and Bobby Heenan says by the time he makes it to the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 38.
That's right.
Absolute classic.
Poor Sheik, no one liked him.
Yeah, that's so sad. And then in his shoot interview with Mr. Dan Maloney, Mr. Malono, when he asks him about that, he was like, what'd you think when he said that line? And he was like, oh, you know, people like to poke fun at the Sheik. You know, he just kind of like rocked back and forth and just shook it off a little bit. Everybody want to try the Sheik. So what else about the Battle Royal then? Of course, the Sheik won.
No, just the collection of people, you know.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Jim Cornette is in it, for God's sake.
Yeah, a total non-wrestler.
You know?
And it's like, what really, you know, he had kind of a gimmick. He had a character, though. Like, I feel like they just put him in there as a rib on him.
Oh, they sure did. Absolutely. You know what? God. He's going to do it and collect the paycheck.
Yeah. Absolutely. Michael P.S. Hayes. Of course, because they have so many guys to introduce, you only get to hear, like, the first couple of strains of Backstreet or Bad Street USA.
Right.
That
is fun, though, hearing it.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic song. Yeah, Sergeant Slaughter, you know. And then, of course, everyone makes the point that... And Sheik talked about this on his shoot interview, too. The only reason Sheik won is because he couldn't go over the top rope without killing himself.
Nobody could eliminate him, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, I was in Battle Royal with Bull Ramos. 500 pound! He'd go over top rope. Sheik can go over top rope if I want to.
Damn right, Sheik.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Preach it.
The guy who walks on his ankles.
Yeah.
Something else, though, happened. Yeah. You had another one from WrestleMania 17, though, and as soon as you said it, I kicked myself.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did.
Did I? Maybe the greatest hardcore match of all time? Is that
yes.
What you're talking about?
Yes, it was.
You know, like, Raven is not nearly as smart as he claims to be, but he was very smart here about presentation. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's easily the best hardcore match of all time. Easily the most memorable. And
yeah,
it was
really
capped
is.
Off by the golf cart chase.
That was so unbelievably classic. I mean,
yes.
The match, that was funny. Like, the golf cart thing was funny.
Yeah.
But it was kind of logical, too. You know, you're trying to get away from your opponent. You're trying to chase down your opponent.
Of course.
You throw the referee in the back. And you
right?
take off.
Everything made sense.
Yep.
You want to follow that motherfucker, you know?
Yep, that's right.
Best way to do it is in another golf cart.
And, of course, this is the Raven versus Kane versus Big Show match we're talking about. And then you get two guys the size of Big Show and Kane, who are capable of throwing each other through walls and windows, and they throw Raven through anything that he's capable of being thrown through. It was great because it was brutal while it was funny in a way.
Exactly.
The finish, of course, was it Kane coming off the stage with a couple of elbow drops onto the other two, like crashing through a stage below?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was Kane that came out the champion.
It was funny in a way that didn't really mock hardcore.
Right.
It was kind of like a wink-wink kind of thing.
Yes.
Just very well done.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, when they did the golf cart bit, I don't remember pointing and laughing at the TV like, ha-ha, this is hysterical. Like I said, it's like, duh, of course. That's exactly what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't it make perfect sense?
Yeah,
I try to get away too, you know? Goddamn right.
You're right. Raven will never be as smart as Mark Madden, but goddamn it if he didn't get that one right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else is on the old list here? God, I guess we're motivating all the way up to the 20s. Let's see. We both went to WrestleMania 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very fond memory of this. Of course, I'm a huge Shawn Michaels mark. And
oh, yeah.
And I honestly thought, if I really thought about that card, let's see. Carlito and Masters against Show and Kane, no. Even Triple H and John Cena, it was good, but it wasn't great. Money in the Bank was good, but not great. What else was on there? God, what other matches were there? Oh, Undertaker versus Mark Henry in a casket match. Yeah. And Rey Mysterio wins the world title in a triple threat match. I mean, I think you'd be fooling yourself if you tried to say that Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon wasn't the best match on the show.
Right.
Yeah,
you can make that argument, sure.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, the build-up was what it was. The whole, like, McMahon wants the evil side of Shawn to come back, and Shawn loves God, so he'll never let it happen. So it culminates in a match between those two. And the match was great. It was another one of those that was kind of funny, but it's funny in that way that Vince McMahon, as Chris Jericho once said, has about all the athletic ability of a giraffe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's just taking the bumps that he knows how to take and just flailing around like Vince does. Taking the Muscle and Fitness magazine cover to the head. The Kiss My Ass Club thing that gets turned around on him, and he's, of course, flailing away in the wind, and here's Shane getting a face full of Vince's ass.
I forgot about that, yep.
Yep, that's just funny shit.
I forgot all about that fucking thing.
Oh, I was so fucking coked up. The kendo sticks, the handcuffing of Shane to the bottom rope, and then you knew a ladder had to come into play.
Right.
Little did you know the ladder would literally be the entire length of the Rosemont Horizon. As Shawn Michaels...
A 9-million-foot ladder.
Yeah, seriously. Shawn Michaels reaches under the ring, pulls out this ladder, and the more ladder that comes out from underneath the ring, the more you hear the crowd just go, oh, oh, oh! You know, like, they're so fucking excited to see Shawn Michaels dive off this 1,000-foot ladder.
Right.
That, to me,
fit under the ring, you know?
Yeah. It's like, through some crafty camera work, we haven't seen it sticking out the other side of the ring all night long.
That's right. You're actually sitting on it in the front row, you know?
Yeah. Is this my souvenir seat? That, for some reason, then when I watched it back on tape, seeing Shane McMahon's eyes bug out as that ladder came out from under the ring...
Yes.
It's like, yep, that pretty much personifies the crowd's reaction. Just a great moment, I thought.
Nice. All great McMahon matches, a total dog and pony show, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah. Trot everybody and everything out there.
Everything you can possibly think of out there.
Yep.
And that's good working.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah, you're giving the crowd a story.
Yes.
It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. And at some point in the middle, I forgot, now since you mentioned it, yeah, the Spirit Squad came out.
Mm-hmm.
They did their interference spot. Like I said, Shane was out there. It's exactly right. Vince, you know, when you have the limited athletic ability that you do and you're Vince McMahon, you got to do all that wacky shit.
That's right.
So, yeah, good call. So I guess we'll see what he trots out for the Bret Hart match.
I'm expecting something better than we all think, you know?
I am, too. But I also have the feeling it's going to be a lot of machinations and histrionics and dogs and ponies, smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, though, like, the sad thing is, who from that era is around now to come out and make a good impact, you know, in this proposed dog and pony show that I'm just kind of putting out there right now? Like Jim Neidhart?
We just saw Jim Neidhart a little while ago in TNA.
In TNA, yeah.
So,
You know, Bulldog is dead, Owen's dead, Pillman's dead. Michaels has his own thing going on.
Well, here's the other name I just heard today, Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, there's rumor that he's going to come back. What the hell?
And since he supposedly ended Bret's career...
Sure, yep.
Makes some sense.
Conspiracy theory alert, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be very interesting, yeah. That's a good point. it's weird that that's about the only name that really, you know, anyone could probably come up with from that time period that, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, you're right. It probably will be better than everybody suspects.
I just have a feeling they're going to book it smart.
Yep.
Watch them prove me wrong, but,
No, I don't know. It's a McMahon match. They'll take a lot of care, I'm sure. Let's see. I got another one here, while we're still going chronologically. It's another Shawn Michaels thing, actually. It relates to Shawn Michaels. WrestleMania 24, Ric Flair's last match. Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The big send-off that I paid a ton of money to go see, and now he's going back on it. Fucking asshole.
Well, that's the kind of human being he is. He's a fucking shit.
That's right. That's right. So it's Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. If Ric Flair loses, it's his last match. He has to retire. And what's that?
It's curtains for him.
It's curtains. That'll be curtains for you, see? So we get to the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida. And we've got our seats that are five rows away from the top of the arena. And I'm looking down. I'm surveying the crowd. And I'm kind of looking for signs, too, because that's always fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign that sticks out the most to me by far, and WWE and Kevin Dunn and Kerwin Silfies and them, the whole, like, production crew, did a great job of panning this sign and like encapsulating the enormity of this sign. I see the word woo cut out of neon colored poster board.
Nice.
And it's like it's one W and like 40 O's.
Oh my God.
And it just runs the length of the row, whatever row it was. I don't remember if it was ringside or if it was like five rows back or 10 rows back or whatever it was.
That's amazing.
I know. It's so great. Like, somebody just stacked up all this poster board and got a stencil or did something, got a fucking craftsman saw that I don't know how to run and cut out all these O's and it was just like, here, pass one down. Take one and pass the rest down.
And they all did.
Yeah.
Because it's like this cool thing to be a part of.
Yep. Yeah, really. I mean, how epic is that? You know?
Yeah.
And like I said, when the cameraman saw it, and he starts at the W and just works his way all the way down the row. It's like, how fucking cool is that?
Yeah. That's another one. I didn't even remember that. But now that you say it, I remember it vividly, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I can picture it in my head perfectly.
Yep.
So.
And, of course, the match that went along with it was, you know, it'll go down in history as something that Ric Flair went back on 2 years later.
Yeah. What dumb Ric Flair is. Fuck you. Jesus.
Scum. That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah
he's a scummy person.
Yeah. You see why, you scum. Oh, like, yeah, he is, though. He's a fucking... he's a money grubber. And you gotta be when you're fucking broke. But,
you know, I'm like he's some kind of jujabroni.
Awesome. God, I don't think Mr. Dan Maloney ever asked Sheik about Ric Flair, did he?
I don't think so.
Hmm. I think Sheik may have mentioned him.
Think of those things.
I think Sheik brought him up, like, based on the training camp from 72, where he was like, Ric Flair! 300 pounds or whatever, you know, talking about how he was way bigger back when he was a rookie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was like a fat fuck back then.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck boy, 300 pound. Yeah, that's right.
Gigantic Dusty Rhodes onesie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Rambling Ricky Rhodes. could not beat 190 pound Iron Sheik. And then he flexes and points. Actually, God, it's funny how our WrestleMania memories are backloaded with all of these Shawn Michaels moments.
Because
your last one that you had was from last year's WrestleMania that involved Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, the best match maybe ever.
Yeah.
At a time when that's so bizarre to even think about, you know?
I mean, what were
I don't remember anything that happens, you know, from week
to week.
I was actually going to ask you.
I don't know.
Well, did you watch it? Yeah, I watched it. I don't know.
That's funny because that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, Dusty, what were they force-feeding us back then?
What's that?
Well, I was going to ask you that very thing. Like, what were they trying to give us back then? What were they trying to force-feed us at that time?
Hell if I know.
Yeah.
The one gem... in the turd punch bowl, you know?
No, God, seriously. Yeah, at a show main evented by the boring Triple H versus Randy Orton.
Yeah.
I mean, that match is going to go down.
I think my average for a three-year time span was one in every three shows had some variation of Cena, Orton, and or Triple H, you know?
Yep.
Two of those three or more involved in the main event. And that's just so exciting.
And I want to say that the year before when the three of them wrestled the triple threat match for the title,
mm-hmm.
to which I roll my eyes, I believe it was the next month at Backlash where WWE's answer to freshening up the main event scene was having those three wrestle each other one more time, but then putting JBL in the mix.
Yeah, oh boy. And I like JBL, but Jesus fuck, you know?
Exactly. And then WWE tried their makeshift other main event at WrestleMania 25, and I didn't think it was a bad match, but they threw John Cena and Edge and Big Show in together.
Right.
Because there were three deserving main eventers without any decent story going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the story revolved around Vicky Guerrero.
Yep.
And it's like, so John Cena has nothing to do with Edge, who's supposedly married or in love with Vicky. And then Show gets involved, and it's like, oh, let's plug in our poster boy in this nothing happening match.
Just
shit piled upon shit. And then,
no digging beyond that, man.
Yeah, and then thank God Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were there to save the day.
Mm-hmm. Just like an underdog.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
Right there to save the day. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think it was Shawn Michaels alluded to it this last week. Not even alluded, I think he just said it outright, where he said, people say this is one of the best WrestleMania matches, if not one of the best matches ever.
Mm-hmm.
So you were right. It is. It's the best match ever, goddammit.
It might be. I hesitate to say that because there's a lot of good matches that I like, but, I mean, fuck, it's right up there, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Let's not play semantics too much, you know?
Okay, sure. Yep. I think this is a discussion we've even had on audio before.
Yeah.
You know, you can put it up there with Flair and Steamboat from Wrestle War 89. You can put it up there with shit with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels from Hell in a Cell 97, you know, Bad Blood 97.
Sure.
You can put it up there against, it's small time, but they didn't wrestle like it was small time. I still say Samoa Joe versus CM Punk, the first one, was their best one. And I know some people say the second one and some people say the third one. You're going to be hard-pressed to... And honestly, like, I should have said that one, too. I should have said Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels because of the fact that it made me leap out of my bed like 10 feet when Michaels kicked out of that first tombstone.
And how rare is it to get a genuine reaction to anything anymore?
And again, especially at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, fucking Triple H breaks into Randy Orton's house on Monday Night Raw, and I just sit there on my hands, like, why the fuck am I watching this?
You know, it's like shrug, yawn, whatever.
Yep. Yep. Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thankfully, like I said, the two professionals pulled it out.
That's right.
Shoot, anything else worth talking about here, WrestleMania-wise or otherwise?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up Bob Uecker. Since he's
yes,
getting
oh, God, yes.
And he really was a highlight of the two WrestleManias he was involved in.
Yes.
So it's very nice to see him get this honor. And
yep.
if anybody is not a baseball fan, he is my local announcer, you know?
That's true.
For the Milwaukee Brewers. So I grew up with him. And that to me, that's awesome. You know, his voice, he has a golden voice, a Sinatra-esque, memorable voice, you know?
Yes.
So,
really no, that's
cool.
Fantastic.
It's an honor.
Yeah, I'm so glad. And, you know, I championed for this at WrestleMania 23, which would have been 20 years after his first appearance.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania 24, which would have been 20 years after his second appearance. And thankfully, when the news came out that he was being inducted, I think he was the one who said that they had tried to contact him in the past, but their schedules conflicted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which makes me happy to know that WWE wanted him in the Hall of Fame and possibly wanted him in there, inducted on the 20th anniversary of one of his appearances.
Yep.
That at least gives me a little bit more faith in the
decision.
It's really
great that they kept trying, you know?
Yep.
And
yep.
finally got him in. That is excellent.
Yeah, it's great. And I mean, you know, and I said it before on an audio, and I posted the video on the on Stunt Granny on the main page. How can you not remember, how can you not fondly remember the, hey, buddy, why don't you get your foot off my shoulder?
Followed by Andre screaming incomprehensibly.
Yeah. Have you ever been able to figure out what he says?
No, and I've watched it a zillion times. I have no idea what he says.
Yep. Oh, my God, classic. And Uecker's bug-eyed reaction. Just so fucking great. My dad, he just dies every time he sees that.
Yep.
Classic moment.
Just
yeah, good. Well, let's see. I don't know. That's about it, I think. That's our combined ten memories. The show's been going on about an hour.
Okay.
The moon is full, and so am I.
You got to get with Moolah, huh?
That's right, yeah. So, I don't know, I think it might be time to sign off for this very special Stunt Granny audio.
Well, right on, man.
Cool. Well, in that case, I'm going to call it a night, and I'm going to go finish my laundry, post this baby, and go to bed. So, hey, University of Northern Iowa, go Panthers, Sweet 16. Tune in this Friday, tomorrow night, depending on when you're listening to this. I'm pretty sure the game's at 8 or 8:30. Find it on TV, watch it, cheer on the Panthers, damn it, unless you're from Michigan and you like Michigan State, in which case, Jeremy Earmuffs, go fuck yourself. I'm out.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, for the Panthers, for Boston Rob, and for Senator Kennedy, this is Dusty Giebink. This has been another edition of the Audio Experience. We'll try to do better next time.